Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. You know, the psalmist said in the book of Psalm, I'm so glad when they tell me we will go to the house of the Lord. And my wife and I are always, you know, always happy to come here. We're always thankful to God for this church, for all of you. You know, well, you have been good to us. Next slide, please. And then this is the Global Ministries core values. We do nothing until we pray. The work of mission is born in prayer, sustained in prayer, and completed in prayer. Let us bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, again, we praise and thank you for your good, and your love endures forever. We thank you for loving us and giving us your son, Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for giving us your life so that we might have life. We thank you for calling us your children and even for the privilege to worship you freely in this land. Lord, even as I deliver your message, I pray and ask for your spirit to fall afresh on all of us. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross so that Jesus alone will be seen, will be heard, will be magnified, but ultimately will be glorified. For this ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the Lord gave us countless opportunities to befriend, build relationship with the host people. And on our way home, next slide, please. Yeah, so God has given us countless opportunity. And on our way home one day, after a busy and long day at the church, it's around midnight. So I felt like God is telling us to go and visit our friend Kit and Kat. For your information, like we use pseudonyms to protect the identities of the people we are reaching out. So my wife and I have been telling Kit and Kat about Jesus. We've been praying especially for Kat because she was battling cancer at that time. So after going through chemo and radiation therapy, you know, the doctor declared Kat as cancer-free. So her hair starts to grow and she started living a normal life. But after several years, she had a relapse. The cancer was back with a vengeance. She was in severe pain. So her husband, Kit, phoned the hospital, but was told that he could not take her in because there's no available bed for her. So the doctor asked Kit to go to the hospital. And what they did, they taught him how to use or how to inject needle on her wife, on his wife. So the doctor told Kit to use the morphine only when the pain is so severe. The doctor warned Kit not to inject morphine to his wife every hour because the morphine could kill her. So Kat was having severe pain when we arrived at their place. Kit was so happy to see us. He told us that Kat was having pain the whole day that day. And the effect of morphine only lasts for a couple of minutes. So Kit told me, he said, I placed our holy book all over her body and nothing happened. He said, I ask our God and nothing happened. So when Kit saw us, he came to me and asked me if I could ask our God. He said, can you try your God? You keep on telling me about Jesus. Can you try Jesus right now? You know what? I know and I believe that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Amen. I believe in that too. But when he told me that, I got so afraid. Fear started to sink in me. I started thinking, what if after I pray, nothing happens? So I was telling myself that I should have just gone home and ignored the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I told myself, I need to get out of this situation as fast as I can. And knowing that Kit was a devout to his religion, I told him that he must accept Jesus Christ first as his Lord and Savior before I can pray for his wife. You know, the ridiculous part of that is at the back of my mind, I was praying that Kit will not accept Jesus Christ at that point. Why? Because I was afraid once he accepted Christ, then I don't have a choice but to pray. It's so ridiculous because our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Canada, sent us there so that people will accept Jesus Christ. And at that point, I was hoping that he will not accept Christ. Well, anyways, I even tried my best to convince him not to accept Jesus. I told him, did you know that your family will persecute you for turning your back on your religion? But he said, I have tried my God and nothing happened. He said, I have nothing to lose. That night, Kit accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. After that, I don't have a choice but to pray. So while praying, I can hear Kat shouting in pain. She's even hitting her head on the wall. I honestly don't want to, you know, when I started praying, that's the only time I remember that I don't want to end my prayer. But when I was running out of words to say, I simply said, Lord Jesus, would you please touch Kat right now and take away the pain and heal her? For I ask this in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when I said amen, I was afraid to open my eyes. But I don't hear Kat's shouting anymore. So when I opened my eyes, Kat was looking back at us with a big smile on her face. The pain was gone. And I was like, whoa. I was shocked. And I look at my side and I saw Kit standing there and he's like, he dropped his jaw. And he looked at me and said, Joel, Jesus does heal. And I stood there and said, how many times have I told you that I have a powerful God? Yeah? Now you see, God is powerful. But truthfully, when I got home, I bended my knees and prayed and asked God to forgive me for my unbelief. I asked God to forgive me for doubting Him. I realized that if God, you know, I was so afraid. What if God did not show up? I was afraid. You know, I realized that if God didn't show up that day, it's God's name at stake, not mine. It's God's name, not mine. My role, our role, is to be His mouthpiece, to be His representative, and allow God to do His work in us and through us. You know, Satan loves to use fear and doubt against believers. He knows if he can get you and I to question God, then maybe we will give up and abandon His will for our lives. Feelings of fear often precede feelings of doubt and uncertainty. And if left unattended, these runaway emotions can cause us to stop trusting God. Now the question is this, is there anything too hard for God? In Genesis chapter 18, it says in Jeremiah 32 verse 17, Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And Luke 1 verse 37, it says, For with God, nothing will be impossible. And you know what? When Jesus was still here on earth, he healed the sick, fed the multitudes, commanded the wind and the waves to stay calm, walk on water, raised the dead, Lazarus from the dead. But we will notice, as we read the Bible, that he always spends time communing with God the Father in prayer. Jesus was connected to God the Father the whole time he was here on earth. And we read in John chapter 15, when Jesus talks about him as the vine, he said, he is the vine. In John chapter 15, verse 4, it says here, Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And the only way to be connected to Jesus is through abiding. And abiding implies prayer. Apart from prayer, nothing eternally significant
happens.
And in verse 5, it says here, I am the vines, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we cannot do nothing. So in our daily walk as God's beloved children, we should stay in intimate fellowship with the Lord. A branch abides in the vine, who is Jesus, by drawing all its life and nourishment from the vine. So if you want to flourish, grow, and be fruitful, we must abide in Christ by spending time in prayer, reading and obeying His word, fellowshipping like this with His people, and being continually conscious of our union with Him. The only way believers can bear fruit of a Christ-like character is by living in touch with Christ moment by moment. Jesus Himself, again, spent countless hours praying. This is Jesus Jesus in the flesh, who has probably all the resources available at His disposal, and yet He spent time communing with God the Father. And in John 5, verse 19, it says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Brothers and sisters, you know what? The disciples realized that if they want to continue the work that Jesus had started, they would like to do it the way Jesus did. So what the disciples did, they came to Jesus in Luke chapter 11 and asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They did not ask Jesus to teach them to perform miracles or to preach a powerful sermon. They understood, the disciples understood, that prayer is the key if they would like to do ministry like Jesus. Not that the disciples do not pray or do not know how to pray. According to Jewish tradition, one should pray 3 times per day. But you will notice that instead of asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, they said, teach us to pray. There's a difference there, how and to. So they would like to know to pray the way Jesus prays. And the disciples sensed that prayer was a real and vital force in the life of Jesus. As they heard Jesus praise, it made them want to pray too. By the way, the 2 accounts of what most people call the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 11. When Tom and Patty asked me, like, what am I preaching about? I said, I'm talking about the Lord's Prayer, which is actually the model prayer. And they're like, we didn't even talk. And they said, you know what? We're singing that actually this morning. And that's how God works. You know, in Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, we read the warning of Jesus when it comes to prayer. It says here in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, don't be like the hypocrites who purposely position themselves in public areas so that others will see them praying and be impressed by their devotion. So if the love of prominence is the only motive in prayer, then Jesus declares they already get their reward. Jesus also said that prayer should not consist of vain repetition. God is not impressed by mere multiplication of many words. In this command, Jesus warns against 2 things. First, he does not want us just to repeat the words of any prayer again and again. Second, He does not want us to think that the Father hears us simply because we talk to Him in long speeches. You know, in the book of Elmer Towns, titled Praying the Lord's Prayer, he said that the effective prayer is not measured by how loud you pray or how long you pray, or even if you say the words of the Lord's Prayer again and again in repetitious fashion. Your prayer will be effective if you are sincere the way we approach the Father, and if you ask for the right things, what you say. Listen, in Matthew chapter 6, it says there, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask of Him. So the question is this, if our Father knows what we need, why pray?
Why pray?
You know what? The reason is that in prayer, we acknowledge our need and dependence on Him. It is the basis of our communicating with Him. He wants to hear sincere expressions of the heart. Sincere expressions of the heart. Many people define prayer as communicating with God, like a child talking to their father or asking something from their father. But prayer is more than just asking. Prayer is a human approach to God in addressing God in praise and adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and intercession. Prayer, listen, is a consciousness of God's presence, love, direction, and grace may be experienced. So prayer is not simply asking God of our needs, but listening to what God would like us to do. And this is what Jesus said. This is then how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So we will learn from that first, our prayer must start with a recognition that we have our Father in heaven. That our prayer should be addressed to God the Father in acknowledgement of His sovereignty over the universe. You know, the statement of our Father is our posture of trust. It's a posture of trust. Jesus taught His disciples to enter the presence of God with the understanding that He is our loving, tender Father. Our Father is our declaration of our faith and trust in Him. We come into His presence assured of His love. And the fatherhood of God was at the core of the teaching and prayer life of Jesus. You know, theologian J.F. Packard says that your understanding of God and the gospel can be really measured by how much the word Father moves you when you say it, when you pray it. To remember that He, that our Father, is our awesome God who has the power to create the world, to run the world. But most importantly, we have a Father who cares for you and I. Even today, as the world celebrates Father's Day, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, it says here, Matthew chapter 7 is starting in verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? How much more our Heavenly Father give good gifts to us? The next one is hallowed be your name. It reminds us that God is the main character of who He really is. This is our posture of worship. We acknowledge His goodness, greatness, and purity with praise and thanksgiving. We prioritize God's holy nature, His beauty and perfection in otherness over our requests or needs. So we should begin our prayer with worship, ascribing praise and honor to Him who is worthy to be praised. Next one, your kingdom come. After worship, we should pray for the advancement of God's cause, putting His interest first. Jesus is showing us that the root of our prayer must always be concerned about God's kingdom and not ours. So prayer offered with a humble heart is a posture of surrender. Our prayers are not only give me this or give me that or do this or do that. It's about God's name being glorified here on earth and His people and His gospel being better known. You know, let me ask you a question. If God were to answer everything you prayed for, God will say yes to all your prayer requests in the last 10 days. Think about what you prayed for in the last 10 days. And if God will answer all your prayer requests, the question is this. How many people will be added in the kingdom of God?
How many people?
Or we always only pray for ourselves and for our families. There's nothing wrong praying about that. But when it comes to prayer, when Jesus taught his disciples, he said, this is how you should pray. Saying your kingdom come and your will be done helps align our heart with God's purposes. Your will be done. This is our posture of dependence. In this petition, we acknowledge that God knows what is best and that we surrender our will to his. It also expresses a longing to see his will acknowledged throughout the world. Jesus himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You know, just this week, last week, somebody came to me. They're having some health challenges and issue. Actually, her husband is suffering from dementia. And she just asked me, she said, I just struggled about my husband's situation. And when I prayed for her, I even say, this is what I challenged her. I said, let's ask ourselves, how can the name of God be glorified through your husband's situation? And then she started telling me about the things that God has done in her life. And she just started praising God. So God knows. I said, I don't have the answer to all your questions. Even I myself, I struggled. I told you my story when we were there. I struggled. And yet, let's remember that we have our sovereign Father who is in control and nothing is impossible with him. You know, the next line of the prayer is on earth as it is in heaven. This praise modifies all three preceding petitions, the worship of God, the sovereign rule of God, and the performance of his will are all a reality of heaven. The prayer is that these conditions might exist on earth as they do in heaven. The next one, giving us this day our daily bread. After putting God's interests first, we are permitted to present our own needs. Now, bread is a metaphor. We're not just praying for bread or food. We're praying everything that we need to live and to accomplish God's plan. We are praying and asking God to give us the ability to be a good parent, the ability to make a good decisions, the ability to live a Christian life and to do the role that God has called us to do. The petition acknowledges that our dependence on God for daily food, both spiritual and physical. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Listen, if believers are unwilling to forgive those who wrong them, how can they expect to be in fellowship with God the Father who has freely forgiven them for their wrongdoings? The principle of forgiveness is a response to the holiness and grace of God. Forgiveness towards others is the overflow of the life that has been forgiven. Listen, it is impossible to come before the Father of grace and at the same time refuse to allow the grace of God to flow through us, to flow through us to others. We cannot receive grace from God and refuse grace to others. And lead us not into temptation. The petition expresses a healthy distrust to one's own ability to resist temptations or to stand up under trial. It acknowledges complete dependence on the Lord for preservation. You know, even Apostle Paul, he said, we are a new creation in Christ, right? In Romans chapter 7. But Paul ended up doing the things that he don't want to do. And he said, because of my sinful nature, because, you know, that the fallen flesh that I carry around with me today, it keeps on, there's a war happening in my life. But in order for me to get rid of that, I need to die to my old self and allow the newness of Christ to reign in me. You know, in Galatians 2:20, it says, for I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. It is not us who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me, who gave his life to us. For yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It is God's kingdom that we are building. It is Jesus we wanted to be lifted up. So in essence, prayer is faith in action. Prayer is the manifestation of a humble heart. When we pray, regardless of whether we feel like it or we make a statement of faith, we pray because we see God as the solution to what we face. And listen, always be honest with God. He knew it all anyways. He knew it all. He's an all-knowing God. And honestly, honesty breaks the pattern of doubt. Listen, the last thing that Satan wants you to do is to go to God in prayer and tell him you feel doubtful. Prayer is an essential part of a Christian life and ministry. Jesus himself prayed when he was here on earth. Prayer was an integral part of Jesus' time on earth, and he prayed regularly. He prayed regularly. He lived only with the thought of obedience. His joy was to do the will of the Father. If Jesus, the Son of God incarnate, found it necessary to commune with the Father frequently, how much more do we need to do so? It is important for us to know who God is, that he is sovereign, that he is in control, that he is powerful. And we need to recognize that who are we as his beloved created beings. Man was created to know God and love God intimately. It is unreasonable to believe for believers, it is unreasonable to believe that we can love God with our whole heart without a personal, intimate knowledge of him. And we will never come to know him intimately without spending personal time with him. Prayer is indispensable to the mission of God. After the resurrection of Jesus, we will read in Acts chapter 1, the disciples returned to Jerusalem, went up in the upper room, and they joined together in constant prayer. If you look at the history, the time that Jesus resurrected from the dead and the time he ascended, they said, according to historical books, they said that the disciples must have stayed 10 days in the upper room. 10 days praying. And then in chapter 2, Peter preached, and in verse 41, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day, about how many? 3,000 souls were added to them. They prayed for 10 days, Peter preached for 10 minutes, and 3,000 people get saved. Now, we preach for 10 days, pray for 10 minutes, and 3 persons get saved. We get the zeros out of order. Now, question is this. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Or do you pray? It's really sad because even at Barna, they did some research. And they said that even pastors, I'm not telling you, even pastors, I'm a pastor. So they said that even pastors, sometimes they only spend about 5 to 6 minutes a day to pray. How's your prayer life? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Prayer, brothers and sisters, has the ability to deeply touch the soul of a man. It transforms us, humbles us, and makes us the people that God would like us to be. Every time I come here, I always see those any tree. Anytime, anywhere. What's the other one? Anywhere. Anytime, anywhere, we should pray. We We should pray. We should pray. If you want to see many people come to know Jesus, we should pray. And honestly, I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe some of you are facing some difficulties in life. Maybe some of you are facing something that, you know, like you didn't expect to happen. But this is the message of the Lord to you today. God is good. And all the time, He is good. And He is sovereign. And I always have this picture every time I pray, every time I close my eyes. I always imagine that God is holding the whole world in His hands. That's how powerful our God is. That's how big our God is. And whatever you're facing, even I myself, honestly, when I experienced that, when I prayed for Kat, I was shocked. I always believed that nothing is impossible with God. But when I was at that point, I just don't know what to do. And maybe you're right now, you're at that point when you don't know what to do. Listen, God said in His Word, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And even before you ask of what you need, He knows what you need. And this is the part that I really love. And He knows the best for you and I. He knows the best for you and I. God loves you. And my prayer is this, that even as we live our life, may we be like Jesus, who commune with God and connect with God every day. You know, even in the life of Jesus, even in His busyness, what He'll do, sometimes the disciples were looking for Him, where have you been? And Jesus will say, Jesus will always go to isolate Himself and pray. So brothers and sisters, I challenge you, let's pray and trust God, who can do great and mighty things, for He is good and His love endures forever. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank You, for truly nothing is too difficult with You. Nothing is impossible with You. But forgive us, Father, for our unbelief at times. Forgive us that sometimes we don't even spend time communing with You. Forgive us, Father, and we thank You for being so patient with me, for being patient with us. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here this morning. I don't know what they're going through, but You do. And I just pray, Father, that even through their circumstance right now, may they be able to experience Your power, Your miracle, and Your love, and the peace that transcends all understanding. The peace that this world cannot give. The peace that only You can give. And I pray, Father, that in whatever circumstance we're in, may Your name be lifted up. May Your name be glorified. And let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.